Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is going on, party people? Happy Friday. Crazy around here. I tell you what, you know, all this talk of what happened with Donald Trump and Russia and the hacking, and I'm so sick of the hacking. You know, one of the other things is yesterday, MSNBC, in the middle of its thing, some Russian TV station, I don't know what happened, was, I don't know if it was hacked or if it was just some sort of wires were malfunctioning or something. And then the same thing happened at C-SPAN. And it was just, it's bizarre to think this. And we have to hear about this day in and day out with all of this. Russia's hacking this. Russia's hacking that. Hackety hack, hack, hack.
Dos Vatanya. Chad Benson is goodbye for you. This is Kremlin Broadcasting. There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the channel. We are now in control directly from the Kremlin. We are here to inform you that the Chad Benson Show has been taken over.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Chad Benson has been declared an enemy of Russia and its people. He is Torsiembar Torsara Torsia Niet. The Chad Benson Show has been declared persona non grata. Bontrasia la Fucha Niet.
Once they hack, if you don't catch them in the act, you're not going to catch them. They have no idea if it's Russia or China or somebody. It could be somebody.
Chad, you there?
Dude, what was that?
I don't know, man. I had to run back and hit some of the satellite switches. I don't know what the hell went on.
You know what? I am starting to believe that maybe the Russians are definitely, they're listening to all of us. They are pulling the strings. This could be. This. They're coming. They are. They're listening to all of us. Right now, what I advise all of you to do is not to panic. We have everything under control, to take a deep breath, because they're not coming. The insanity of it all. I love it. I love this stuff. John Rep Lewis, I call him a Rep John Lewis, whatever you want to call him. For the congressman, distinguished gentleman from the 5th in Georgia, saying it's a conspiracy. Rosie calling for martial law.
Forgiveness. I believe in trying to work with people. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult. I think it was a conspiracy on the part of the Russians and others to help him get elected.
Thank you very much, Mr. John Conyers, or Mr. whatever your name is, Rep. Firth. I don't care who you are. It is insane, though, right? I mean, I laugh, and I know a lot of people out there who are angry out there and think that we should all be freaking out over something like that. There's bigger fish to fry, so let's not care about stuff like this, please. Can we all move on? It's happening, right? That's all you need to know. It's happening. That's it. It's happening. So deal with it. It's happening next week, and you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to Toby Keith, and you're going to listen to Lee Greenwood sing Proud to Be an American, and you're going to deal with it. And then we're going to move on with our lives, okay? Whether you like it or not. So can we just get it? Over under 50% that Melania wears a fur coat. I'm going to say under because it's too warm, right? Probably too warm for the fur coat. 50 degrees, yeah, you'd want to be in the, like, if it's in the 20s or 30s, yeah, throw that fur coat on, right? But I don't think that, you know, I think over under on that, yeah. Fur bikini. Oh, Chad, Melania. I love people who post stuff like, this is our next first lady, and I'm like, she's smoking hot. Hello. Hi, how you doing? What are you guys? She's not classy. Oh, slow your roll. Slow your roll. Just, you see Madonna got a tattoo of the Nike symbol above her vagina.
says, just do it. And then everybody else said, we did. And so that's what we think of you, Mag, whatever you guys call her. Good God. We're all moving on with ourselves. The I think we need to fix, repeal and fix Obamacare. We don't need to throw everything out. We need to chop it up. The Republicans took their first steps today to moving in that direction. And, you know, I am totally like, let's do this. Let's get in a better situation. Let's not get rid of everything. I'm all about that, right? I mean, this is what we need to do. I get that. I sit here, though, and I'm still waiting for the comprehensive thing that they're replacing it with. 20. We got 20 of them. Well, I'd like to see one. I don't care about 20. Show me one. Which one's the best one? That's what I would like to know. Which one of you has the best one, and we'll go with that one? Please, somebody. It is and as much as people want it gone, it is going to be a long, drawn-out process. I'm letting everybody know that. It's not going to be done on Tuesday. It's not going to be done on Wednesday. It is a long, drawn-out process. They've gone, you know, the way they've done this now, and I understand why they did it the way they've done it. So there's no filibustering going on, and now they're going to go and slowly try to tear this thing apart, and it's going to take a while. But in its place, what are you putting behind? That's what I'm curious of. I hear that it's something cool, right? Because we all got a plan. It's all super sneaky plan. What plan is it? That's all I want to know. Health savings plans, this plan, that plan. What are you guys going to do? Are we going to be able to compete on the open market? Can I buy, if I'm in California, can I buy from Arizona? If I'm in California, can I buy from Washington? If I'm in California, can I buy from Maine? That's what I want to know. What's your plan? That's what I think all of us would like to know. Look, we all realize that this thing is on its takeaway. If let's just say Hillary got into the White House, right? That the Russians didn't ruin everything and that they didn't somehow steal through her special fortified server, steal her soul and personality, that somehow she got into the White House. This thing was on its last legs. It was. You had too many problems with it. It was costing too much. The prices were rising. People didn't want to participate. Businesses were trying to figure out how not to get involved in any of this stuff. You all of a sudden, you started seeing on top of all of that stuff, right, that the businesses that were participating, i.e. the insurance companies, were starting to pull out of a lot of these places. So you were left with one choice. That's not competition. That's a monopoly by default, and nobody likes that. But what are you putting in its place? That's what I want to know. I think we have every right to know. Do you have a real plan? Saying you have a bunch of plans is not a plan. I want to know what your plan is. I want to know what you're going to go. Say, look, you may have, you very, very well have 15 plans. You may have 20 plans. You may have a billion plans. I don't want to know about any of those, but the one plan you plan to show us. That's it. Which one is it? Are you drawing straws? Is there a game where everybody sits on a chair and then we all reach underneath and the person who's got, the plan, that's the one we're going with? What is it that we're doing? Because as a person who's not a fan of Obamacare, it's what we have now. We don't want to see people lose their insurance. We don't want to see people, go without. We don't want to see people who need it not be covered. But we also don't want to pay ridiculous exorbitant prices, be forced to take things that we're never going to use. We don't want any of that because that doesn't help anybody. What I want to see is a plan. That's all I ask. It's not hard. I hear lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff about the plan, but I don't see the plan. Maybe the Russians. Maybe I should ask them. Maybe they know what the plan is. They seem to know everything. Maybe we should ask the Russians. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We do a thing called What's Next? This hour, every day at this time, for all of the hooping and hollering and screaming and yelling, guess what? The Supreme Court is one of the big things that people were worried about in this election. Donald Trump and the Republicans will have their nominee. Who will it be? And what's next for the Supreme Court? Straight ahead, the Chad Benson Show.
This is going to be easy. Let's see what's next.
I know you're not going to like what I have to say next, but facts are facts.
What's next?
What's next?
What's next?
What's next? Little segment we do this time every single day. What's next for the Supreme Court? You know, a lot of was made about the Supreme Court that this was, you know, a chance to influence generations and the Supreme Court would be lost to whoever's side didn't grab victory in this last election, and the Republicans came away with it. And now we have to look at all these cases that are coming up, and there's going to be a lot of cases coming up. I personally find the 4-4 court, and it's sad that we have to say that because the truth is, shouldn't it just be 8 judges, right? But everything's up to interpretation, and that's what I find to be so weird. Like, you would think with the law, it shouldn't be left to interpretation. That should be something that should be pretty much black and white kind of issue, right? It should be this or it should be that. It shouldn't be, well, I'm a Republican, so I see it like this. And, well, I'm a Democrat, so I see it like this. It shouldn't be like that. It should be the law. But that's not what we have. We have difference. Because everything in the law, like everything in politics, is left open to interpretation. I like the 4-4 because I think it does give the states more power. It goes down to a lower ruling. I like the fact that you have that kind of 4-4 feel. But here we are. Donald Trump is going to pick, of which you don't care about any of these people until you find out who that person is going to be grilled. But coming up this year, in fact, we had our first case heard just 2 days ago in the Supreme Court, which addresses the questions of what is the level of educational benefit that school districts must confer on children with disabilities to prove them with the free appropriate public education guaranteed by the Individual with Disabilities Act. A 15-year-old student identified only as Andrew, people call him Drew, is challenging a federal court's appeal. The youth is autistic and has attention deficit disorder, compromising his verbal, nonverbal skills. His parents, school officials, couldn't agree on a plan for him in public schools, but now he's in private school, gets specialized teaching, and they're suing the private school to recover the private school tuition. But there's a lot of them this year, a lot of them, including more bathroom issues, including several different situations when it comes to excess force. There's going to be more religious affiliations, all of these things. People were worried about what was going to take place. People were terrified about what potentially could happen. Look, I look at the Supreme Court as it is what it is. Unfortunately, in a lot of ways, we have made this thing so ridiculously political that we have to stack it one way or other, it seems nowadays, to get things through. The truth is, if people don't like what voters want, it doesn't take a lot for people to whine, bitch, and moan, to take it to court, to challenge it, and to move it up the ladder. That's the sad thing that has happened. I think what's next for the Supreme Court is it's going to be a fight to find out who's going to be that fifth conservative. And then what you'll see, by and large, across the way, is on the issues that people seem to make the biggest noise about, whether it be bathroom or whatever, it'll be a 5-4 to split. It's pretty simplistic. You know when I know it's real and that the right decision was always made? Is when it's 9-0 or 8-1 and you're thinking, wow, that's an ass whooping right there. That's the way it was probably meant to be written. The other way we look at it is too political. When you look at the law, you should look at it in a way like this. I'm looking at this not from my political point of view. I'm not coming at it as a politician with my beliefs and feelings. I'm going to look at the law as the way it was written. And unfortunately, this is the world we've got. What next for the Supreme Court? A fight to see who's going to be number nine? He or she will be added to the bench. And then it'll be business as usual, 5-4, with one side having it stacked. The other side, hey, in 4 years, if they take it back, they can add another person to it or two. Because remember, the thing about the Supreme Court is there is no size limitation inside of the Constitution that says you could have one or a million. But politics and court, unfortunately, go hand in hand, and that's where we're at. What's next? Lots of cases that are going to piss a lot of people off because it's stacked in a 5-4 way. So get ready for the screaming, the yelling, and the politicking, because that is exactly what we got. Crazy. That's what's next, baby. People texting in about the Russians hacking into the show. It was crazy. I will admit, it was super crazy. Those Russians are, they're pesky. Right? Is that the way? I find the whole thing just so insane. The fact that we were talking about this, think how far we have come in our world now, right? Think about how far we've come in our world. That we were talking the other day about the fact that president-elect may have been caught in compromising situations with golden showers with sex workers. Think about that. That hashtag golden showers was trending. Think about that. Conspiracy theorists, cuckoo for Cocoa Puff people, and people that are willing to do anything they possibly can to figure out how they can derail this guy. It's happening. It's happening. Like it or not. The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the program. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Are you superstitious? You can take the poll. Right now, 90%+ of you say, nope, I'm not superstitious. Some of you say, yes, nobody's saying I am. Check it out, at Chad Benson Show. That's the Twitter. Oh, Steve Harvey, what were you thinking? It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Move on. No need to sort it out.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What's up, party people? Man, Steve Harvey is in it. He is. Two things that people are mad about Steve Harvey for today. He has pissed off a lot of people. He has pissed off the Democrats and the African-American portion of the country. And he has pissed off the Asians. First, let's talk about how he pissed off the Dems and the African-Americans. He met today with Donald Trump. You know what I like what he said? He said, you know, our president Obama asked that all of us sit down and talk to one another in order to move our country forward. So that's what I did. Nothing wrong with that. Talked about the fact that maybe there might be an opportunity for him to help, on some things. Hey, that's okay. To be some sort of ambassador, so somebody who can get out there and spread a message, not a bad thing. He goes, and this is something he said, and this is good, piss people off. And right now, trust me, there is a social warrior, justice warrior target on him right now. He said, I walked away feeling like I just talked to a man who genuinely wants to make a difference in this area. I feel that something really good can come out of this. When talking about, HUD and the inner cities and Dr. Ben Carson, and I like that. You know what? That's what you do. We got to stop looking at each other as enemies. We also have to grow a pair and some thicker skins. Can we do that? Is it possible? I don't know if it is or isn't. But you know, he hosts, Steve Harvey hosts a show called The Family Feud. And he also does a bunch of other things. He's got a talk show. He's got several other things that he does. Well, Steve Harvey the other day said something that has sparked anger and controversy amongst the social justice warriors of the world. I don't think it's that bad. But once again, in this day and age, with everybody, the sensitivity and the heightened awareness of microaggressions and whatnot, you've got to be careful what you say. Listen.
Excuse me. Do you like Asian men? No. Thank you. You like Asian men? I don't even like Chinese food, boy. It don't stay with you no time. I don't eat what I can't pronounce.
Understand who he is. He is a comic. He is making people laugh. Later on in there was actually an Asian woman that got up from the Philippines and started asking a question. She was laughing, and she was fine with it, it seemed. You know, in this day and age, let me tell you something. You don't think that somebody would get up and yell at somebody if they thought something was going wrong? Hell yeah, they would. Because they feel it's their right at any given time to do whatever they want to do. But he's been eviscerated by the social media world. He's been absolutely eviscerated. Absolutely, you can't. In this day and age, somebody should say, you can't say that. But here's the thing about comedy. Being a comic, we go for laughs. Sometimes it's cheap. But sometimes we take stereotypes and we take people and we poke fun at them and we poke at fun at the silliness of life. Laughing is truly the best medicine. It really is. Penicillin's good too, but laughing is really good. But I tell you what, even now, walking into, and I've seen this, you go to a comedy club and people are doing stuff and they're, you know, they're sitting there watching it and you comedians are doing their thing on stage and you see how uptight people get and they'll leave in the middle of it because they feel that they're being aggressed. They feel that they're being, that somehow, some group that usually they're not a part of. And by the way, can I say this? By and large, most of the time, it is white people who I think in many ways feels uber guilty about things and they're self-hating and they get upset and they feel that they, for whatever reason, need to come to the defense of something. He was kidding around. Steve Harvey is a good dude. He's a nice guy. But we can't do this anymore. You can't. We've done stuff on this show. And case in point, the Russian guy, for those of you who were listening earlier, was not Russian. But you heard an accent. So we're like, okay with that. I've done stuff where I played a Dear Leader Kim. You know me, Dear Leader Kim, long time. Ah, yes. People have called and said, that's racist. People have said, oh, that's racist. I said, why? I did an accent. I didn't do a color. It wasn't blackface. I did an accent. You equated it with race. I didn't. I've pointed out on numerous occasions. I could talk like this all day, can I? You would know. I've got many friends from England who talk like this. And you know what? Some of them are black. Some of them are Asian. Some of them are Indian. Oh. It's an accent. We do things like that. Comedy is, you've got to be able to push the envelope. You've got to be able to have fun. But you can't anymore. Because when you do that nowadays, it's funny. You don't know where the line is. That's also one of the other things in life. You don't know where the line is in this day and age. I don't know where the line is. I don't know where the line is. Listen to Steve Harvey again, just talking about Asian culture. Do you like Asian men? I can't pronounce food. Take a listen.
Excuse me. Do you like Asian men? No. Thank you. You like Asian men? I don't even like Chinese food, boy. It don't stay with you no time. I don't eat what I can't pronounce.
Okay. I don't see the harm. Well, if you're Asian, you don't. So really. Uptight Asian kids at school are upset. Most other people are getting on with their life. That's who's upset. Uptight white people who are at school getting ready to, you know, another microaggression because we got to get, we got to put this with the rest of them and we got to hurry up and finish our signs because we got to get to the inauguration so we can protest and then have another protest the day after. Microaggressed. I've been hurt. I need my safe space. Comedy's about pushing boundaries. Comedy's about fun. Comedy's about, you know what? When you take on certain stereotypes, what you do when you do some of these things is you really tear down the walls. Because comedy is one of the last few things that you get that's honest out there. It really is. Doesn't matter if it's a black comic or a white comic or an Asian comic or a female comic or a gay comic or a transgender comic or a Mexican comic. It doesn't matter. You can tear down the walls and you can do it with laughter and then you can get people's guards down and you can actually do stuff. He said something flippant. Next thing you know, people want him fired because that's what we like to do in this country too. We like to take one thing that we think as a huge, you know, absolute destruction of a culture and we want you fired for it. No. Enough. Enough of this crap. We all need to grow up a little bit. I'm not asking you to grow up a lot of bit. I'm not, but you just have to grow up a little bit in this world. Comics do what comics do. They push boundaries. And it's weird how we will let certain comics push certain boundaries. Part of that is because these comics push the boundaries to the point where their audience is so entrenched that Daniel Tosh, Josh Jelinek, these people, they push the boundaries. Their audience is so entrenched now. You're not getting rid of them. They're not going anywhere. But a young comic who's got something to say, who's funny, they can push only so far nowadays. The ridiculousness of all of these kind of things. The fact that if you do a voice and it's you know, how is it that Family Guy gets away with something? Because it's a cartoon and it's not offensive. Oh, I see. It's insane. Margaret Cho last year, after all that big hoopla and crap about Sony and would they or wouldn't they release that movie, what was it called, The Interview or whatever, with James Franco and the other guy, I forgot. Would they or wouldn't they? Margaret Cho is Korean, and she did a something on stage dressed as a Korean. People were offended by her. People were offended. Pushing the envelope is okay. Pushing the envelope is good. Sometimes even stepping over that line to see if the line's still there is fine. The problem is the line is always moving. You're never quite sure what social justice warrior is going to pick it up and make it go viral and destroy you. It's insane. Enough with the microaggressions. Get out of your safe spaces. Build up a tolerance to humor. Build up a tolerance to life. Because most of these people, they have an allergy to fun. And they have an allergy to life. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You can also call us, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Creepy stuff happened, and we bid goodbye to a person who made us freak out when we were younger. And even in this Halloween season, we still get scared when we watch this movie. He passed away today. We'll talk about that and say, what? Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Say what, y'all? Before we went to break, we're talking about comedian Steve Harvey said something about Asians, and of course, people are butthurt about it. People are attacking him. He made a joke. We can't get over jokes anymore. Is there a line that we can't cross? And why does that line always seem to get moved? And why is it only some people and only some time? 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. 23. John, what's happening?
Hey, man, you got a great show.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate that.
I enjoy it. Hey, you're too young to know about this. I'm in my 70s, but you remember reading about Lenny Bruce?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, and you probably even got to see a little bit of George Carlin.
110%.
Yeah, those guys opened up words that weren't supposed to be said, and they got people, well, for a while, they got people over worrying about this stupid stuff. And I'll tell you what, I'd like to go back to them guys just being around again or somebody taking their place. And we got to get over this. Oh, that isn't right, or that's not political. Or what? If you don't like it, get out of the room.
Yeah, well, and that's what people are doing, John. I appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for the kind words. That's what people are doing now. But here's the thing. I go to a place to do comedy. People show up there. We make people laugh. We talk about stuff. I talk about real life. I share stuff with my friends, about my friends and my family and my life growing up. And I share stuff about everything in my life, good, bad, and indifferent. That's what I do. There's nothing wrong with sharing things about those kind of things. My issues come when you've got 100 people there and one person's offended and they don't want to anybody else to hear what you have to say. And it's not just, and here's the thing, it's not just about comedy. You know, Milo, whether you like him or not, Milo Yiannopoulos, whether you like him or not, he goes to college campuses, all of these people freak out. And it's not just Milo. We think, oh, it's Milo because Milo is brash and he's loud and he gets out there and he says those things. But there are so many conservatives or people who are deemed to be alt-right kind of people, even though they're just people who are conservative, who aren't allowed to get on college campuses and speak to people anymore because some group has deemed them to be hateful. And comedy's becoming that way. You've heard it over and over again how many of the best comics now will not perform at college campuses, which, by the way, as a comedian, those are massive deals because colleges have a lot of money to spend on entertainment and they will spend it. You know, a comic that may make $5,000, for a month's worth of work traveling, may get $5,000 for a night at some of these colleges. And for them to say, you know what, I want no part of this anymore. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to open up for this guy because I know I'm going to say something and people are going to be pissed. We can't have that. It's not just comedy. It's speech in general. Microaggressions, butthurt people, enough. Enough. Oh, we had a death in the horror world, although he didn't really probably think of himself as a horror writer. William Peter Blatty died yesterday at age 89. It was announced today. He of the fame 1971 book about a possessed youngster led to his Oscar-winning screenplay for The Exorcist in 1973. He passed away after turning 89 on January 7th. On top of that, you've got a new documentary coming out about the priest that actually inspired the movie. It's a very interesting look into this. It comes out on Netflix, debuts on Sunday. And one of the people in it was the driver for the priest. He's a former CIA official, Robert Morrow, and he said he drove the priest around because the priest was up there in age. The priest's name is Malachi Martin. He was an Irish priest who inspired Blatty in his novel, and he talks about the thing that he saw that he said is the most terrifying thing he's ever seen in his life, which is when they went to a house here in America, and a four-year-old little girl walked up, didn't know who the priest was, and says, you're Malachi Martin, and you think you can help her, then turned, and the priest flew across the room, hit the wall, and died. Said it's the most terrifying thing ever. This coming from a CIA guy. Now, in saying that, the CIA guys, well, we're not quite sure if we believe everything they say, because we got this whole thing going on with Russia and everything, and they're complicit, apparently, in this, and played a bit of a part, but that's creepy. And you put the fact you got the creepy doll this week, which I'm still thinking is the dad. But man, I tell you what, very creepy. By the way, some of the stuff about The Exorcist, if you've never read any of the things that happened around there, and again, you know, superstition or no superstition, Oh, a lot of these things that, you know, you can put down to just coincidence. A lot of people work on a movie. A lot of people work on a movie scene and sets and the whole nine yards. But there was some weird things that happened. In fact, just as the first day of shooting started, two family members of stars died. Also, two people died before the movie was ever released. That's right. Two people died before the movie ever saw, including the guy that played the drunk director, Bert. He passed away before the movie was ever released and never saw any of the coolness that became out of it. Coincidence? I can't wait to see this movie. I do believe I'm going to watch it on Sunday because that's who I am and that's what I do in situations like this. Chad, you're weird. I am an odd duck, aren't I? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Has microaggression started to control us all? Are you microaggressed and have you ever even thought for a second that you have microaggressed people? 323-538-2423. Phil microaggresses me all the time. Nonstop, all the time. I got to tell him to stop. I'm going to the safe space right now. See you on the other side. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.